Unfortunately, I can't get hold of my guest. I have a couple of numbers for him, but no answer, which is a shame. Hopefully, he'll get in touch and we can speak to him in the next few minutes or so. If not, then hopefully it can be rescheduled. That's Josh Eggleton talking about a show which is coming up in March on Channel 4, The Restaurant That Makes Mistakes, which he was overseeing. It's a restaurant which is completely staffed by dementia sufferers. A really wonderful idea. Josh was overseeing the project, which was an effort to change the way the condition is viewed. He runs a pub called the Pony and Trap Pub. He took it over with his sister in 2006, and it's now recognised as one of the most exciting places to eat in the Southwest. So I was really looking forward to chatting to him. But if it doesn't happen today, we will reschedule it. Not a problem. We have him on the line now. Josh Eggleton and his sister Holly took over the Pony and Trap Pub in 2006, now recognised as one of the most exciting places to eat in the Southwest. It was awarded a prestigious Michelin star in 2011, an accolade which it still holds today. But we're talking mainly about an article I read the other day, the fact that Channel 4 opened up a pop-up restaurant for 5 weeks in December, which was staffed entirely by dementia sufferers. Josh was overseeing the project, which was an effort to change the way the condition is viewed. The Restaurant That Makes Mistakes will be screened on Channel 4 in March. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, great, thanks. Thanks ever so much for joining us. What a wonderful idea this seemed. How did you hear about it?
Well, essentially, the Restaurant That Makes Mistakes was it was opened up in Bristol, and I'm based in Bristol in the southwest of England. And I was asked to just consult on the restaurant to start with, so with the construction of it, because I do a little bit of that. And I just got more and more involved as that went on. And we do quite a lot of training. I run something called the School of Food, so teaching chefs how to cook, essentially. And so I was asked to kind of help with a bit of training. And then I just got more and more involved. And it was a big learning curve for myself, really. And it just went from there. And I ended up being there the entire 5 weeks, being from start to finish, and I was essentially doing what my job is now. So I was teaching people how to cook, I was running a restaurant, I was working the restaurant floor, and that's what I do day to day anyway, because I've run several restaurants.
Mm. So how was it a learning curve for you? What did you learn?
Well, essentially what I need to do, you need to learn how to adapt and how to work with people living with dementia. And for me, I think it's quite a simple thing, really. So when you teach somebody, or when you try to work with them, you just have to take a step back and just think to yourself, what do I need to do to adapt to make these people work within my business? But people living with dementia just need to be a little bit more patient, show a bit more humility, have the time to listen to them, and figure out what their strengths and weaknesses are. Because once you've met one person living with dementia, you've met one person living with dementia. They're not all the same. So you really need to kind of understand how it's affected them and their lives. Because I think, and essentially that was the whole point of the restaurant, there's a big stigma. Well, people don't understand what it means to have dementia, and that's the whole point of opening the restaurant, to raise awareness of what it means. And I'm what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who have got it, who are below retirement age, and being able to still re-enter the workplace and reclaim their lives, because a lot of people living with dementia instantly lose their job and then lose their sort of place in society. Mm. So it's about trying to get businesses to understand that they can make reasonable adjustments and can have people living with dementia working within their businesses.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point to make, that I'm sure a lot of people, unless they're personally affected by it within their family or friends, may not have thought about. You know, it's often perceived that people with dementia are of a certain age, but when you're talking about people, as you say, who are still in working age and wanting to continue working, that must affect them in a very different way.
Completely different way. And if you can imagine that you've always earned a wage, earned a living, and you've helped to support your family and you've contributed, to go from not being able to do that overnight to having to be supported, it's a bit of an emotional roller coaster, really.
Mm, definitely. So what was the overwhelming response from people who came to the restaurant? I know certain people were invited as well, weren't they? How did that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's really positive response. I mean, we invited a lot of people. I mean, obviously, Channel 4, we're doing a programme, so we needed a narrative, we needed to create a story and portray what people, what this restaurant was. So we invited a lot of other people that were living with dementia and the Alzheimer's Society, different celebrities. We also had the general public coming as well, and other restaurateurs. And it was an overwhelming response. And the main response was that a lot of people could not believe that the people, that the guy, my volunteers that were serving them, had dementia.
What, because people didn't notice any different?
Well, essentially, all our volunteers had early onset and mid-range dementia. And the thing is, there's about 100 different types of dementia. It can affect people completely in different ways. It's not all about memory loss. Some people struggle with vision. Some people struggle with cognitive skills. Some people struggle with communication. There are various forms of Parkinson's that are actually forms of dementia. So it's a very broad subject, and I didn't know that much about it, but I do now. I've learned a lot. And some people you won't be able to tell, and it is an incurable disease. It does only get worse, but to start with, there are many years left where we can live with this and function.
Mm. Oh, fantastic. Well, I look forward to seeing the programme. It's going to be airing in March, isn't it?
Yeah, hopefully in March, probably towards the end of March now. And we're also going to be doing a campaign called Dining for Dementia, which we'll be talking about within the show, and that essentially, what that's going to mean is we would like as many restaurants across the country to be kind of one weekend in May, taking on a couple of people living with dementia to work within the restaurants to, again, raise awareness of what this means across this country.
Oh, what a great idea, Dining with Dementia, and that's going to happen in May, you think?
Yeah, Dining for Dementia. Yeah.
Dining for Dementia.
Yeah, it's going to happen in May, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Or maybe we could have another chat towards the time then about that. That's a good idea. And tell me about the Pony and Trap as well, and your other life with that.
Pony and Trap. Oh well, you know, I've been there. Pony and Trap. I've been there about almost 13 years now, and it's a bit of an evolving project. It's kind of the first restaurant we started, and a little country pub just south of Bristol, and. Yeah, I feel like I've been there a long time, but not really, because we've got an awful lot to do, and we've got lots of new projects we always like to push there, really, and try to keep evolving the food as much as possible.
And tell me about, you got a Michelin star in 2011, is that right?
Yeah, 2011, we were the recipient of a Michelin star there, much to my surprise, and we've held it ever since, and I think, well, from that point onwards, to what we do now, it's so wildly different, but we still maintain it, and we still try to do as much as possible to kind of, we're always trying to learn and learn new skills and grow lots of produce in the garden. We bought the field next door recently, well, the last couple of years, and we started to grow a lot of vegetables and really moving into that and trying to become as self-sufficient and sustainable as possible within the Pony and Trap. And you know what, we've got a long way to go until we get there, but we're kind of well on our way. It's a beautiful country pub, lovely views, and we really kind of want to promote that local produce that we get from the countryside in and around there.
Mm, absolutely. So I assume you're so much more than a pub lunch than having a Michelin star.
Well, we say that, but, you know, at lunchtimes you can still come for a traditional British Plymouth or even some ham, egg and chips. So we cure the ham and the chickens and the eggs are from down the road and obviously we kind of triple cook the chips, or you can come for a six-course fish and shellfish menu. So, you know, we offer a lot of flexibility. Mm. So one table can be eating a nice cheddar flamens, and the next could be having a six-course menu. And I think that's important to me, that it's very accessible.
Yeah, lovely. So you must have a really wide range of people and clients that come to you.
Yeah, we do. We're close to the airport. A lot of people on the way to holiday, and we have people flying in from Brussels and stuff like that. And we have the local community of people from Bristol and Bath, and a lot of people from all over the country, really. So yeah, it's quite a lot going on.
Fabulous. Well, that's the Pony and Trap in Bristol, and people can watch The Restaurant That Makes Mistakes. Will be screened on Channel 4 in March. We've been chatting to Josh Eggleton. Josh, thanks ever so much for joining us.
No problem.